Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin.
Keyshawn, J. Will, Zubin, presented by Progressive Insurance. All guests join us on the Goodyear Hotline. Good morning from New York City. Alan Hahn, Bart Scott in with you today. Bart and Hahn, back together.
Hahn!
I mean, it's been a while. I never asked you, did you miss me? Or, like, because you were also reunited with Chris Carlin,
yeah,
who was a guy you used to do shows with as well. So, like, I want to almost ask, like, who do you prefer?
You, Alan. I prefer my dog.
That pause was unnecessary.
No, I was just going with it, man. You know what I'm saying?
I don't know.
I'll see Carlin at 2 o'clock.
You sounded so happy. Sound like you were enjoying.
You like me a smoke. Me a little smoke. Who you want? Me a little smoke.
I don't know. You know, Key never yelled at me like you do. I'm just saying.
Does Keyshawn have a mustache? I told you, you cannot trust a black man over 40 without a mustache.
What? Why do you say that?
It's urban fact, man.
Why is that urban fact? Explain.
Name me a black man over 40.
I don't.
You trust Isaiah Thomas? And that's my dog. You trust him?
I mean, not to run my basketball team.
You see what I'm saying? It's like certain things, man. You got to say, why is the old black guy trying to look young? Why are you shaving all your facial hair? Who you hiding from?
What does it have to do with being black, though? What about a white guy that doesn't mustache like myself?
No, it's different.
Why is that different?
You guys are raised different.
I need to see. This is the uncomfortable conversations we need to have in these things. I need to know why that's
Listen,
a
man,
thing.
I'm just telling you. All right. Go buy something from a black man with no facial hair before. Watch what happens. You're gonna regret it. Regret it. I promise you.
How do I transition from that? 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776.
Hey, if you're a black person out there and you over 40 and you trustworthy, call in. I need to check your resume.
Fair enough. But in the meantime, in the NFL and around the sports world, as we know, the vaccine has become a major part of players and rules that they have to follow.
Yeah.
The NFL, as they're getting ready for their season, that has certainly become some. The college football as well, you're seeing some programs that are getting to 100%, staff, player, everything. Right, I think it's the Atlanta Falcons, right? I believe they got to 100%. All their players, their staff, coaches, everybody vaccinated, which allows them to just go through the season following certain set of rules where if you have on other teams unvaccinated players, those players are subject to different type of rules to protect themselves or protect the rest of the team.
Right.
Because what the league doesn't want, of course, is to have a situation where you have an outbreak or a couple
Tennessee
players
Titans.
And then you can't play. Well, yeah, you have the head coach, Mike Vrabel.
Yeah.
So you don't want to have where you might have to not play a game, forfeit a game, because they have to move on. The business has to move on. So with that in mind, you heard John Mara, the Giants owner, last week talk about how he wishes there was more of a mandate, that he wishes there was the ability to have every single player, every person on your staff vaccinated. But they can't make that rule. They can't do that. Jerry Jones, the Dallas Cowboys owner, was on 105.3 The Fan, his weekly appearance down in Dallas. And he went a little bit deeper on the idea of the players who are unvaccinated and just offered this kind of explanation of why he feels like every player owes it to his team to get the vaccine.
Everyone has a right to make their own decisions regarding their health and their body. I believe in that completely. Until your decision as to yourself impacts negatively many others, then the common good takes over. And I'm arm waving here, but that has everything to do with the way I look at our team, the Cowboys, or the way I look at our society. We have got to check eye at the door and go forward with your Dallas Cowboys are doing that.
Got to move forward with we. And that's what the Cowboys are trying to do here. He's trying to get the Cowboys
at 100%
to 100%. I mean, I don't know if they're going to get there, obviously, but still, Bart, we talked about this a little bit earlier in the show, but we wanted to bring it back because of it goes beyond. Like I said, people have their own choice.
Right.
You have your choice of what you want to do, so there's no rule to it. And in regular society, everybody's going to have their ability to make that choice. But in the NFL, it does feel like if you're a player who doesn't believe in it, Cole Beasley's one who's been outspoken about it, you don't believe in getting the vaccine, you don't want to, whatever it is, you're going to feel pressure. Now, not just from ownership, like hearing two owners like we just heard Jerry Jones say, not just from them or from the league, but how about in the locker room?
Yeah.
Like, I feel like maybe not yet, But there could come a point where this becomes a contention in a locker room that could break up a team.
Well, you talk about a sport that is always consistently looking for an advantage, whether they're breaking down film, whether they're sending scouts to your game to try and steal your signs, whether you talk about deflating footballs. You're always trying to look for a competitive advantage. And seemingly 100% vaccination could be a competitive advantage because you don't want to be that guy that, you know, potentially costs your team to forfeit a game and also their paychecks as well. So when you talk about check the eye at the door, what he's saying is, listen, not only do we have, like, each other, responsibility to each other to make sure that we can try and come out here, we're putting our health at risk by playing the game of football, and now, we, you know, you talk about being able to protect your brother and not being the person that can potentially be a carrier that can give it to somebody, but also is going to stop you guys from being able to get back on time. We also have another responsibility to our television partners to make sure that we're able to put games, scheduled games on. Can you imagine a primetime game coming up and you get stuck with, like, now you got to go Cincinnati, Jacksonville, you got to watch some crap like that, and how the responsibility. And we're all talking about salary caps going up next year, the TV, new TV deals coming in. So that's where you talk about the greater scheme. You talk about the macro and the micro, you know, consequences to your decisions and saying, hey, listen, it could be a competitive advantage for us to be able to you know, beat a team because they may, you know, lose a great player. It's going to happen, right? We saw it in the playoffs with basketball. We saw Chris Paul miss some games. Now his team was able to kind of pick up the slack, but what if you can't? And it costs you at the end of the game. It costs you an opportunity. It's that one game that you miss somebody. You don't go to the playoffs.
Yeah, there's that.
To try and win a Super Bowl.
There's that. There's also the different set of rules.
Yeah.
That players who are vaccinated and players who are not have to follow, just for the reasons that the league put out there. But, you know, more of what Jones said as well was in the Dallas Morning News. And, you know, it does feel certainly like there's a pressure.
Yeah.
But it's not the pressure of get it. You know, get it because, you know, there's certain rules. It's more like get it so you're a team player.
Yeah.
That's a whole other conversation now. Like, you've got to do this because it's for the good of the team. He says this is a team game. We rely on each other to play. We rely on each other to win. We have to have each other. There's 11 guys out there at any one time to be trite about it. And you have to count on the other guy being available. And you certainly don't want to do anything that causes your teammates to not be available.
Yeah.
And all that comes from the same conclusion as far as what you agreed to be as far as a player be part of a team. But it also probably, I would think, what you're doing during the season, you know, guys go out, guys are going to do stuff. Like, you know, it's just,
well, just
your young men.
Kids too.
Like, that's also a suggestion of don't do anything that could compromise you coming into the locker room and getting other people infected. Like, be smart about what you're doing.
Right.
Like, that is something that you have to consider. But what Jerry Jones is saying does sound like more pressure on players.
And I wonder when it comes down to – we had Tannenbaum on. We talked about it, right? You know, is that a determining factor when you decide who's going to make this roster and who's not? Now, we know whether DeAndre Hopkins decides to get, you know, vaccinated or not, he's going to be on the team. They're going to take that risk because the talent, you know.
Yeah, they're going to – whether they cut you or not. But all right, maybe I should phrase it this way. Should John Mara, should Jerry Jones be saying this stuff this way? Is it right for them to be doing this? They might have their opinion on it. Yeah, it's their team. They own it. And we're seeing companies, we're seeing restaurants. You have to prove your vaccine just to get in the restaurant. That's all becoming part of the norm. But is it right for them to say it? Is it right for Jerry Jones to say it this way? Oh, well, you know, you're part of a team.
Yeah.
Hey, you know, you signed up for this. You're supposed to be part of a team. Do what's right.
Right, and listen, it's at the end of the day, I still believe it's about choice, and some people just aren't going to be comfortable with it, and you have to deal with it and live with it, but they're trying to get as much as they can. It's above 80%, I think, allows you to be able to go around your facility a certain way. Last year was tough. It was counterproductive, especially for the young players and guys who don't learn via Zoom or being able to – they have to see it, be around people and stuff like that. And you talk about the isolation that these guys had last year. So you talk about you want to make sure that you can have a team environment. Guys can sit at the table and eat at lunchtime, right? That's all part of the team building part, right? The hardest part part about when you're trying to bring a group of individuals together is for them to understand the why. We all know the what. We're here because we want to make money. We want to try and win a championship. But why? What pushes you? What's your motivation? That all comes with intimate moments with your teammates. And to do that, you have to be able to be around each other outside of a football setting or outside the field. You got to be able to sit down. You're not really talking to your teammates on offense or certain parts of the team when you're out there practicing. You're with your position group. You're talking to your coach. When you become a team, become a family, a tight-knit unit, it's when you have those intimate times where you have no choice but to sit next to a guy that you never really talked to.
Right. Yeah. And what you want to make sure is that everybody is safe, stays safe, and you can finish out the season, because in the end, it is still about the business. Keyshawn, J. Will Zubin, presented by Progressive Insurance. All guests join us on the Goodyear Hotline.
Big Ten, ACC, Pac-12 announcing an alliance.
Hopefully this alliance will really stabilize the different issues that we're facing in college athletics.
The foundation of college sports is, in many respects, in turmoil.
To the three of us, we felt the stabilization of the current environment across Division I and FBS and in Power 5 in particular. This was its chance for a new direction.
All right, so yesterday there was some news that we were expecting to get, but I don't know if it was in the way it was formulated, and that is the Big Ten, the ACC, and the Pac-12 announcing an alliance to bring those conferences together, but not necessarily the way we thought it would be.
Now, what does that mean?
Yeah, well, let's find out what that means. Let's bring in Heather Dinich, our ESPN college football writer, who joins us on the Goodyear Hotline, and Heather has the story right now on ESPN.com. So, Heather, let's just begin with that very simple question. What does this alliance mean?
Well, I think at the heart of it, it means that those three conferences have an unwritten agreement. We're not going to steal each other's teams. That's important because, as ACC Commissioner Jim Phillips pointed out, typically, as you look back at history and realignment, one thing sparks another and another and another, and this is their way to create some stability. But that being said, what does it do to the rest of the Big 12? As they're united, does it create more division amongst the 10 FBS conferences? And George Kliavkoff, the Pac-12 commissioner, told me yesterday that in the next coming days, before the end of this week, the Pac-12 is going to decide if it wants to expand. Clearly, after the alliance, they're not going to take any schools from the Big Ten or the ACC. So do they look to the Big 12? That's where the X factor is in all of this. Do the Pac-12 university presidents and chancellors want a foothold in the state of Texas, in the central time zone? If they do, I can almost guarantee you Texas Tech, TCU, Baylor, they'd all jump at the opportunity if it was presented. If that were to happen, the rest of the Big 12 would probably dissolve.
Wow, that's amazing. Reminds me of the old Big East, you know, the Big East out here where
just picking
everybody
it apart,
before.
Right?
Yeah, so, I mean, to your point, what happens to the Big 12? Who's the most desirable team in the Big 12 now that, you know, they don't have Texas and Oklahoma anymore?
Well, it depends on who you ask. I mean, Iowa State has been a fabulous program. People in that league absolutely applaud Oklahoma State for what they've done from a football perspective. But again, as you have these conversations, if you're a university president, you're talking about more than just, hey, do they play good football? You're especially in the Pac-12, which is what this alliance is all about. You're talking about research institutions that are among the best in the country in collaboration with the Big Ten and ACC. That has to be emphasized here, that in, and you will hear them say ad nauseum, like-minded institutions, right? Can the, that sort of shrinks the Pac-12's pool of candidates, right? Can you get that out of any of those remaining eight schools in the Big 12?
Heather, like when it comes to impact, though, the minute we saw an alliance, we're thinking, oh, wow, we'll have these great crossover games where you'll see USC, Michigan, or you know, that kind of stuff. You know, Clemson playing USC, UCLA, Michigan, you know, who and Oregon coming out and playing who. Like, that's what you thought you'd see. But obviously they already have these schedule agreements already in place for the next couple of years. So from the fan standpoint, from the TV standpoint, just from an outsider standpoint, what does this alliance mean? And, you know, is it something that is we're going to notice an impact?
Well, as Big Ten Commissioner Kevin Warren pointed out yesterday, and you mentioned, from 2022 to 2035, there are already 68 non-conference games in the books. And they said specifically, we have no intention. We promised that we wouldn't blow up these existing contracts. So where does that leave us? So then you turn to the Big Ten and the Pac-12, which play 9 conference games. They have to make a decision. Do they want to go to 8 conference games to free up a spot to add one of those types of marquee matchups that you're talking about? But guys, I have spoken to people involved in these conversations. One of the questions that they're going to have to ask themselves is, when you're talking about those marquee matchups, you're talking about USC, Ohio State, Penn State, the big brand name schools, right? Do they want to share the revenue with everyone? How does that work when they're the ones bringing in the bulk of the attention for those games? I mean, I'm not sure, and no offense to, you know, Wake Forest and Cal, but I don't think those are the matchups that we're talking about here, right? So how do Ohio State and everybody else feel about carrying the weight?
What does this expansion mean for, what does this alliance mean for the expansion of the college playoffs? Will it maybe speed it up a little bit more?
So my sense is that this is going to be delayed. They're all meeting in late September in Chicago, September 28th, and the 10 FBS commissioners are meeting again with the 11 presidents and chancellors with the power to change the playoff. And George Kliavkov in the Pac-12 yesterday said his conference is still 100% behind expansion, but there are some questions at the margin. Kevin Warren in the Big Ten said that he's also a proponent of expansion. Remember, the Big Ten and the Pac-12 were really the two leagues that kind of were the driving forces behind this entire thing. But Kevin Warren said, we want to be methodical and do our homework. And in the ACC, Jim Phillips said, well, we're not quite sure what we want to do yet. So these three commissioners who are new were not part of the working group that put together that 12-team proposal. Everything's going back under the microscope. You know, it might be 12, it might be 10, it might be 8. There might be different variations of what we've already seen from the proposal. I do think at some point it'll expand. I don't think that it will happen before this contract.
Heather Dinich joining us right now on the Goodyear Hotline, ESPN College Football senior writer who has it right now on the .com, the story about the alliance between the Big Ten, ACC, and the Pac-12. Something that, Heather, that Paul Feinbaum has opined on in the past, and we've talked to him about it, is the fact that the growth of the SEC into its own superpower, and now this alliance and what that could lead to. He feels like there's going to come a time where you won't need the NCAA to run college football. Like, they'll handle it on their own. These conferences will do it on their own. With this going on, are you hearing anything along those lines that there could come a time where the SEC just says, we don't need the NCAA to run our football. We'll just do it ourselves, have our own championship, because our teams really are the superior teams.
Well, it's not just the SEC that has the potential to think about. I mean, the Knight Commission, the brains of what happens in college athletics, have suggested, as a matter of fact, treat college football for what it is, which is a separate entity. As all of these things we're talking about snowballs into this NCAA constitutional convention that's on the docket for November and a restructuring of the NCAA, I'm talking to people left and right who say, what in the world does Alabama have in common with Fordham, and why are they all trying to do the same thing and play under the same rules? And a big part of that centers around college football. So, yes, I think Paul is on target that at some point we could absolutely see that. And college football, even as we talk about the Big 12, that is dictating a lot of this.
Yeah, that's the conference you certainly have to keep an eye on. What happens with those teams? What happens with that conference? Because they are the team that's being left. The conference is being left out right now. Heather, thanks so much. Great stuff as always.
Thanks, guys.
All right, Heather Dinich on the Goodyear Hotline. But Bart, it is something. I know you're a 1AA guy,
yeah,
so
D1
for you,
double slappy,
right? So for you, you weren't in that world, but you know it well enough now. Like, well, just to imagine. What happens if you're the Big 12? You got to
so
be
much revenue,
concerned.
Man. So much revenue. You talk about the TV money that's involved. That's why they can afford to pay these coaches. Like, I remember, like, Harbaugh, his assistants made $1 million a year. I mean, this is big business. And finally, they're recognizing for what it is and trying to figure out really what does the NCAA do, right? Like, you know, do we really need them? And this has been something that's
this
a
alliance,
long time coming.
It's not just about football, too. It's men's and women's basketball. As you know, a lot of those programs are. ACC especially, Pac-12, a lot of big-time basketball programs there. That will be affected by this as well. By the way, Heather Dinich was brought to you by Barbasol Shaving Cream. Barbasol comes out thick and rich and doesn't break down. That's why Barbasol is America's number one shaving cream. Close Shave America, Close Shave Barbasol. Yes. So that is a big story for the last couple of days in college football. We continue, though, on the NFL front, and also an NBA story that you've got to hear that involves a player who left millions on the table because his agent told him to.
Ooh.
And then later on, the agent, well, nowhere to be found when it came time to find that million.
You seen Johnny?
Discuss that after this from Straight Talk. 5G's here, but the big carriers want you to sign a pricey long-term contract to get in on the action. Well, not anymore, because Straight Talk Wireless has rolled out 5G coverage nationwide with plans starting at just $35 a month with no contract. Get a Samsung Galaxy A32 5G for only $299, all in America's best networks. 5G coverage, 5G phones, less money. Straight Talk Wireless, no contract, no compromise. 5G-capable device required. Actual availability, coverage, and speed may vary.
As a fan, this is amazing. This
is
the time of the year.
This is what we talked about. This is real, man.
This is real.
Are you ready? Because I'm ready.
This is Scott Van Pelt, and I'm ready.
This is Keyshawn Johnson. The Tampa Bay Buccaneers are ready.
This is Stafford Steve, and I'm ready.
This is the Bear, and I'm ready.
Football is back, and it kicks off every morning with Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin, and continues all day right here on ESPN Radio. Brought to you by Skechers. Skechers, comfort included.
For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Keyshawn, J. Will, Zubin, presented by Progressive Insurance. All guests join us on the Goodyear Hotline. Alan Hom, Bart Scott in for the guys this morning. And Bart, did you always trust your agent?
Yeah. No, when I had one that I didn't trust. Yeah, I mean,
I
had two. I fired his ass quick.
Quick.
Yeah, Vern Sharbaugh got him up out of there.
Oh, you name him too. What made you fire him?
Because he was one of those agents that just wanted to be cool with the. Because I was an undrafted free agent,
yeah.
So he's one of these guys that just wanted to be cool with the teams, so he can make sure he still get his 3% commission. So he didn't want to price me out. So he didn't fight for no type of extra money for me. So when I was able to get a big contract, my second contract, I fired his ass. I was gone, and he told my agent one price. My agent got me quadruple what he was suggesting that I should get.
Okay, so yeah, so you didn't want to leave money on the table. This story Brian Windhorst has on the .com, by the way.
On the .com?
ESPN.com, yes. On the interwebs, on this here computer.
So it's the HTTP?
Something like that, yeah. Anyways, Knicks center Nerlens Noel has filed a lawsuit against Rich Paul, who's become a very powerful agent in the NBA. Clutch Sports is the agency, and of course we all know Rich Paul and LeBron James very closely related. But this lawsuit against Rich Paul by Noel claims that he lost $58 million in potential salary while he was being represented by Rich Paul, from 2017 to 2020. So this goes back to when he was with Dallas and he was a restricted free agent, and the Mavericks had offered him a 4-year, $70 million deal. Yep. At the time, he was represented by Happy Walters, an agent. And he met Rich Paul, and Rich Paul talked him into leaving Happy Walters and signing with Clutch. Oh. And then when he did that, he claims that Rich Paul then told him, don't take the deal.
Go bet on
yourself. Go into free agency that you could make way more than $70 million. Now, Nerlens Noel broke his thumb that season, so bet on yourself. That's, a risk you take.
Yeah.
And then Noel says that after that, he played the next two seasons. Didn't re-sign with Dallas. Spent the next two seasons with Oklahoma City, making the league minimum.
Wow.
Ooh. And says that clutch didn't really make him a priority, didn't help him out, didn't do anything to help him.
Yeah, that's.
And so he ended up signing last year then with the Knicks, became a backup center. Again, all, you know, minimum type salary.
Yeah.
But had a great finish to the season, was one of the top defensive centers of the game, and then re-signed with the Knicks. But that's still, that $70 million that was on the table, he walked away from, and now he's claiming that the agent was the one who told him not to. So, like, do you see here that this is some negligence by Rich Paul, by the agency, or is this, Nerlens, well, you took the advice and that's on you?
Yeah, it's tough, right? Because at the end of the day, you are the boss, right? But you would think a guy like Rich Paul, who's highly connected, is probably telling him, hey, man, listen, I'm talking to people, man.
And by the way, in the lawsuit, there's other teams, the Clippers and I think the Sixers, who later told Nerlens Noel, we wanted to sign you. They didn't take our call.
So if he never gave him that information, that he never took the call, he didn't give him all the information. That's
one of the other things alleged is that there were other teams.
Now that's negligent.
He's claiming other teams told him that they wanted to sign him and that they never could get in touch
with
Rich Paul.
How many of those teams will put that put that on paper, because they don't want
to. Well, in the lawsuit, you're going to have to attest to it. Right.
So they're going to have to, you know, communicate under oath that they said that, and then is that somebody speaking out of turn? Like, you know how guys coach, like, hey, man, you know we're trying to get you. What's up, man? Rich Paul never hit his back. Or is it going to be somebody that's going to put their stamp on and say, hey, listen, I tried to reach out to your agent. He didn't call us back. We just assumed that you weren't interested. And if he didn't give that information to Noel, then that's negligent, and that's a fireable offense. Well, he's already fired, but then that's a suable offense as well, because you didn't give me the opportunity to make the right, what do you call it, fiduciary, you know, responsibility to give me all the information and try and act out of not your own self-interest, but also the interest of me, the player.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, you got to keep an eye certainly on this one. I think it was Marcus Morris. Was it Marcus Morris, right? He had a deal with the Spurs but didn't want to sign there. Rich Paul was his agent.
Yeah.
Ended up breaking the deal because he didn't want to sign there.
Yeah.
Ended up going to New York and then has moved on.
Man, look what happened since then. Strooter.
That's completely different. But that's a report that I've heard that they didn't necessarily offer him that money. That was just something that was, you know, suggested, like a parameter of what he could get. But I don't think, from what I've heard, he wasn't actually offered.
But that's what happens money. When you go with these high price, you know, high impact type of agents, right? And you get buried in, You get buried.
Yeah, because they're representing big names. I mean, he's got Anthony Davis. Like he's got some big stars.
Yeah, they're like $70 million. Come on, man. Please do not take my pocket change. Like, come on, man.
I don't know about that.
But no, like when you looking at that and looking at, you know, Embiid is making $50 million a year, and you talking about getting a commission off of that, you kind of get buried. And then when you try and call some of these high priced agents, you don't get them. You get their
you're
first
not a
assistant.
Priority.
Right. You get their first assistant.
Right. But you're telling me to turn down $70 million, you damn well better make me a priority then. If you're telling me that, you better make me a priority. He's saying he didn't. And just keep in mind, the reason why this is a story, because, you know, these things happen a lot with players and agents. It does happen. But because it's who it is, it's Rich Paul.
Yep.
And he has grown quickly as a very powerful agent.
Backed by LeBron.
In the NBA. So it's a story certainly to keep an eye on. All right, 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Let's go to the calls. Fred is in Utah. Fred?
Hey, what's up, fellas?
How we doing?
What up?
Hey, boy, next time Jeff Saturday show up like that, you know what to tell him when he starts talking about his head. Just say, man, that ain't nothing but ultra perm.
No,
but,
I
want to say to the little, shout out to the little brothers. Shout out to the little brothers of New York. They always can't start their season chirping. Mets, Jets, Nets. Never buy in. They'll break your heart every time.
Wow.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
See, I know what he's talking about. Thank you, Fred. See, the Mets had been a red hot team for so long.
Oh, they've been talking hot fire, man.
And they are just, I mean, have you talked to Pete Alonso lately?
He's still doing his thing, man. The fact that Jacob DeGrom, who was not only going to be a Cy Young, but probably the MVP, him and Ohtani were probably going to win both.
Mm-hmm.
Not available. Now you got to figure out.
But it's amazing how it's flipped.
Yeah.
The Yankees have now then caught fire when they were so bad in the first half. It's just amazing how that's flipped. All right, we got to take this because you brought this up earlier, this point about black men over 40 without a mustache.
Don't trust them.
Well, like you said that. I'm still trying to figure out what you mean. Corey's in South Carolina on this topic. Corey. Corey,
what's up? See, can't trust him.
Hey, can you hear me?
Yeah, we got you.
Hey, what's going on, guys? How y'all doing this morning?
Good.
Maintaining.
Good, good. Yes, this is to my big little brother, Bart Scott, who made that asinine statement about guys called 40, over 40 without, you know, with no mustache. Come on, like, Bart, you just threw the right word, fiduciary. So, in this sense, you have a fiduciary responsibility to your own people not to make those ignorant statements like that. Come on, bro. Like, it's hard enough out here on the yard for us as is. And then here you go. You know, flaming it up. Don't do that, bro.
All right, Corey. All right, you got your piece. Mike in Michigan also wants to sound off on this. Go ahead, Mike. I'm still trying to figure it out.
Hey, how you doing, hon?
All right, what's up?
How you doing? All right, hey, Bart.
What's up?
What's the coordinator's name from the OC and DC from Tampa Bay?
Oh, Todd Bowles? I don't trust him either, especially not around my what? Orioles.
Hey, they just won a Super Bowl. Hey. Thank you.
Thank you, Mike. Yeah. Yeah. Of all the statements that you have made,
did you trust Todd Bowles? Did you trust Todd Bowles when he was here with the Jets?
As a head coach? I mean, I did trust him for a while.
But eventually he broke your heart.
You're going to have to explain that to me when we get to the break, because that is definitely something that I need to understand what you meant. Todd Bowles. It is funny how people do want to react to that, and of course we invite you to 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. But coming back,
most deacons in churches don't have facial hair.
When we come back, the Rams are going back to Georgia to a Georgia running back. That's next. KJZ, ESPN Radio, and Sirius XM, Channel 8.
Coming up today on Janae and Golic Jr., Jackson State head football coach and Pro Football Hall of Famer Deion Sanders. As our countdown to the kickoff of the football season rolls on, Deion Sanders with Janae and Golic Jr. today at 5 Eastern on ESPN Radio and on ESPN Plus.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only, exclusions apply.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Lectric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus! Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's electricebikes.com.
Keyshawn, J. Will, Zubin, presented by Progressive Insurance. All guests join us on the Goodyear Hotline. Alan Hahn, Bart Scott in with you.
Yeah, man.
And we will be for the rest of the week.
We talking about all the way
fired
up, man.
Up to be with me here?
Yeah, man. You know what's crazy? When you just said that, I realized we never had an opportunity to talk about, like, the Locks and the Dipset versus battle that was in the Garden.
Damn.
But, you know, me and Jada played in a couple of, celebrity basketball games, man. And he's a cool dude, Jet fan. I was going, you know how Lil Wayne does, like, the other shows, like kind of intro. Yeah. I was going to try and call Jada, but the price went up, man. He just proved that he's top five dead or alive, man. I don't know if we can even afford him. I don't even know if we got enough money in the budget. Are Maybe he'll do it off the love on the strength.
For him to just step into the show.
Oh, man. Did he not give a lesson, though?
Yo. I know it's from a couple of weeks ago.
Craftsmanship. Just, man, he just showed his levels to this, man.
Yeah.
Like, man, like, and we've been ignoring him for years to talk about he was the best top five dead or alive, and we've been kind of, man, when you put his lines, his bars up against everybody else, mm-hmm. it looked like he was playing child's play with them out there, man. Yeah. Jada, holler at us, man. Come on, man. Do a verse for us for our intro, Barton Hine, the remix.
By the way, that intro to that show is the greatest intro of any show ever.
It is.
Get you fired up. Jada, just keep going.
But Jada can remix it, man. Oh, put that voice in, that raspy voice. And it's like crazy. He's one of the very few dudes who voices deeper when he's talking than he actually rapping, man. It's crazy.
It's a good thing.
Raspy.
So the Rams made a move, and they had to because they had such injury issues in their backfield. As you remember, right out of the gate, Cam Akers tore his right Achilles. Then you have Darrell Henderson, who, it's a thumb hand. I know it's something like that.
That's major for a running back. You're talking about fumbles.
Matt Stafford. So they had to do something. They make a move for Sony Michel, and the Patriots just get a couple of conditional picks. But, you know, you add a guy like Sony Michel to that backfield. Does that, you know, whether or not we don't know what, you know, the extent of Henderson's injury is, but still, Sony Michel helps at least. It's not Cam Akers, obviously, but it helps.
I mean, I think it is to a certain extent. I think it's a little bit of Todd Gurley. Now, maybe he's not as explosive in the passing game, but he is a good screen catcher. And he's a guy that's downhill, straight north-south, which is what you want, a one-cut guy. You remember, the Rams, when they're at their height, when they went to the Super Bowl, they had a bunch of jet motions, things of that sort. They can have that with Deshaun Jackson being able to stretch the field. Now they can utilize so much of the field now that they have Sony Michel who can run in between the tackles and also break tackles. Like, he was a guy that averaged like 5.7 yards a carry. The problem is, in New England, they always go like running back by committee. They got these specialists. And you think about the Damon Harris guy that they have, like, he's much younger. And I think if you give Bill Belichick some truth serum, he said, man, I was right to pick the Georgia running back was the right call. I just picked the wrong one. I should have went with Nick Chubb.
Yeah, well, again, if you're the Rams, you had success previously, Todd Gurley, so now you see if it can work out.
Some balance.
If it can work out for them, because they are a team after making that trade. You say, you know, is that a Super Bowl or bust?
They're all in. They're all in. They're all in, man.
You make a trade like that. Yeah. No, you certainly have to be in there in a very tough division, no question about it. All right, 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. A little caller roulette here. Let's spin it. We go with line two.
Line two, yes, that's me. I'm Greg from New York, living in North Carolina. I have a question for my man Bart.
What up?
The scenario is everybody say Dave Gettleman made some good choices, some bad choices. But my thing is, how come we didn't just draft Fields if everybody's skeptical about Daniel Jones? Why would you trade that pick and just keep him? And then if it don't work out, you keep Fields. If it does, then you can trade him.
Well, you talk about, like, listen, quarterbacks are very uncomfortable with people behind them. And this is the third year for Danny Dimes. You're hoping that you go out and get his top receiver, much like Josh Allen. When you look at what their numbers were year two to year three, you know what I mean? They were huge for Josh Allen once he was able to get Stephon Diggs. They go out and get Kenny Galladay. They solidify the offensive line at least as much as they can. You expect Daniel Jones to have that same jump. I think you can't give up on Daniel Jones so early and be able to kind of put that type of pressure on him, because not everybody can handle the pressure, especially in New York. You heard Winston talking about how difficult it is, or even Jalen Reagor, how difficult it is to try and play for these type of markets that scrutinize everything. It can break players. Not everybody is built for that. Danny Dimes have shown that he has the right temperament to play in New York.
Yeah, it's a huge year, obviously, for him, and Dave Gettleman certainly tethered to him. All right, let's spin it. Call the roulette right now on the Dr. Pepper call-in line. Line five.
What up?
What's up?
What up?
All right, I'm John from Wisconsin, just calling to see what your thoughts are on the Vikings this year. It seems everybody's sleeping on them, and they have weapons galore.
Yeah, absolutely sleeping on the Vikings. I think Danielle Hunter coming back, you know, is going to give them that presence. They just re-signed Everson Griffin, who had six sacks, gives them depth. You know, I think that, you know, Harrison Smith, you know, I love Eddie Kendricks. I think they're a complete team. It's Ken Kirk Cousins kind of played a spoiler. Can they get back to playing great defense, which they couldn't because you're on the outside with Jefferson. You think about the, you know, the downhill running of Dalvin Cook. You know, I mean, I think this is a complete football team. And if, you know, I think they got the steal of the draft. When I think they, did they get Darrishaw? Yeah, they got Christian Darrishaw, who I think was one of the best pass blocking, you know, tackles in all of the draft.
So, but also, they were a team that was rooting for Aaron Rodgers to not come back to Green Bay.
Oh, they
would have changed everything in that division, no doubt about it. All right, spin it.
You like that?
Line three.
I'm Harlem. Yo, what's up, man? It's Reggie from Harlem.
What's up, Reggie? I'm still going to maybe get Han up there, you know, one of these days, man. We can come up in Harlem.
To the Rooster?
Go get some stuff.
Well, now we can. I'm going up there for lunch, yeah.
All right, I'm going to be looking for y'all, man. Han, I'm going to probably have to bring you up there, man. Bart going to keep telling you that 2022 going to come and you're going to still be waiting.
You understand, I have been there. It's not like I've never been there before. That's why I know it and that's why I love it. So I will be there. Promise.
All right. Listen, I'm a Yankee fan. That's the only team in New York that I like. But Aroldis Chapman is suspect, man. I do not like Aroldis Chapman. You be on pins and needles, man. He doesn't pitch. He just throws.
They've got to figure out, Reggie, if they're – like, the thing is well, we'll work through it and let him figure it out. No. What they got to figure out is it time to pull the plug?
Yeah.
Let Johnny Lasagna close, man. Let that dude close. He's built for it. Like, you see, he doesn't – he's the guy you say, the slow heartbeat.
Slow heartbeat, yep.
You know? Like, I think that's what they're going to have to get to that point. But because they pay him so much and because of who he is, I think they don't want to embarrass him.
I mean, ever
since – Zach Britton doesn't want to do it.
Ever since the Spider Tacky 3000 has been enforced, that baseball hasn't fell off the shelf. That slider hasn't been falling and having a control. And you argue that, listen, it's one of these things. When you're pitching, you're accustomed to pitching in a certain way and using a certain type of stuff. I think it affected some pitchers, and I think it really affected Chapman more than most.
Yeah, it seems like it. All right, spin it. Line six.
Hello?
Hello.
What up? Hey, this is Dallas from Wisconsin. What's up, guys?
What's up, man?
I was just wondering, what do you think the odds the Cowboys could actually beat the Buccaneers week one?
For me, I think. That's how much confident we got.
Line one.
Hey, guys, this is Marty from North Carolina, and I'm a longtime Steelers fan, but I've always loved Bart because of his passion, the way he plays the game. Just really respect him. But that was just a crazy statement you made about black men with facial hair. That you can't trust them, man. I mean, how about Barack Obama?
I don't trust Barack.
What?
Yeah, I do probably trust Barack. I don't know about Barack.
I still don't understand this whole damn theory.
I don't know about Barack, man. I don't know. I'm telling you. It's a thing in the hood, man. It's a thing. This is what we say around each other, man.
There's yet to be a caller who agreed with you.
I'm telling you.
I'm making a – spin it, please.
Todd Bowles.
By the way, I love how fast Eagles fan Pat Costello did the X on the idea of the Cowboys beating the Bucks. Line four.
I guess when you get over 60, Corey from New York.
Hey, how you doing, Corey?
Hey, guys, could Taco Charlton be an option for the Jets for a pass rusher?
Oh, Taco. Oh, man, he's been a huge major disappointment, man. I don't know if you're going to give up draft equity, you know, because they have some underrated guys. They got BC level right, pass rushers. I don't know if you want to go and trade for another, you know, player like that. You know, I look at guys that they have. Franklin Myers is there. Vinny Curry looks like he's going to be out for the whole season, too. Like, he's not going to make his debut.
Chiefs have cut him, I guess, so he's available?
Yeah, so who?
Maybe
Beasley is out there, right? Like, he's once a guy that had a 15-sack season. He's a guy that's kind of moved around. But the problem is now you're not going to get that complete pass rush. He's going to be either great on the pass rush and horrible against the run. You're going to have to figure it out, but they definitely have to make a move. If they just have any hopes of trying to sneak in one of these wild cards, it's going to take, you know, a great defensive effort. And before they had arguably, I think, a top five defensive line, when you think about Rankins, Quinnen Williams, and Carl Lawson, I think they're ready for a breakout season.
Right. Well, the news that they at least want to try to find somebody tells you they're not ready to certainly give up on the season. Do we have time for one more? Of course we do. Call the roulette. Line three. Of course. We don't have time to spin it, Bart.
Oh, good, man. Well, let's just knock the rust off, man. It's been Rizzill.
Yeah. It'd be nice if I could hear right now.
That's all good. But no, it's not even necessary, man.
Absolutely,
we just
can't hear a thing right
closed
now.
Up, terrible. Man. We'll not, just tell the people.
Can't hear anything.
We'll holler.
You handle the part of taking
yeah,
it.
Yeah, man.
To
listen, tune
it
in
out
tomorrow. We'll be back.
Guess
same
what?
Time,
you get more
station
of this tomorrow and Friday.